Tango Tango Papa 1961, April 13, 2016.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from Oakland, Oregon. So, I was in California, had a 3-door upload in California, delivered to Santa Cruz, and then Oakland, California, and then Milpitas. And then after that, they had me pick a load up in, that was yesterday, in Sacramento. And then that delivers tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. in, I can't remember the name of the town, but it's sort of south. It's kind of in the Seattle, Tacoma area, but it's sort of on the, you know, kind of the south east end of that area, Sumner, Washington. So, when I made it to Santa Cruz, I have a friend, Michael Zwirling, that actually lives in Santa Cruz, and of course he has the radio station there, KSCO, and KOMY, and so I called him, and he happened to be home, and so I was able to, hang out with him for a few hours. That would have been on Sunday. Got to hang out with him and enjoyed that. Always enjoy that when, you know, if I can get together with a friend, and they have, sometimes friends aren't available, you know. There are times when people are gone, but he just happened to be there, although he was leaving. He had to leave early Monday morning. So it worked out perfectly. So glad that I was able to hook up with him for a few hours. And but otherwise, I've been kind of bumping right up against my hours of service on the electronic logbook. And that typically happens with a cross-country trip. You just can't go across the country and without kind of using the hours up. So, and they always schedule those loads typically with not much extra time. So now the load that I'm on has kind of extra time, because it was only, it's like a 700 mile load, but I didn't have that much time. I couldn't have unloaded it today because I legally could not get to Sumner, Washington. But of course, I regain hours tomorrow, and so I'll have enough hours to make it there with a few left over once the load's unloaded. So otherwise, not a whole lot going on. The political thing is just completely out of control. And I'm, you know, I do read a few articles here and there. I'm not watching, you know, the only media that, like TV, that I end up watching is if there happens to be a TV with a news channel on wherever, let's say I'm inside someplace eating. And of course, that stuff is just, it's ridiculous. So, but what's happening, I think people, and I know my eyes have kind of been opened, because there have been for years people who said that the democratic process has been more or less subverted, and people are picking our nominees. We have the illusion we have this illusion supplied to us that we're picking these people, especially on the Republican side and the Democrat side. We have the illusion that we're picking these people when, in fact, we're not. Someone else is doing it, and they're giving us, you know, sort of short shrift. And this particular election has really exposed that, because on the Democrat side, you have Bernie Sanders winning all these delegates, and yet somehow Mrs. Clinton seems to be, she's just a shoo-in. No problems. She's going to, it doesn't matter what, how many delegates, how many states Bernie Sanders wins. Doesn't matter, sorry, because of the so-called superdelegates. So the fix is in, it's rigged. But it's also rigged on the Republican side. A few days ago, Colorado, they decided, I guess, sometime back that they really didn't want to have any kind of a delegate process like they'd had before, where you'd have a so-called straw poll of the voters. And so they come up with this cockamamie thing where they came up with these rules where they had if people wanted to really be involved, that they had them in these caucuses in really far flung places, and only the real activists could influence. So what ended up happening, there was no vote that took place, no kind of caucus or vote or conventionally, vote that, took place in Colorado on the Republican side. And all of the Colorado delegates, I think there's 32 of them on the Republican side, were just summarily awarded to Ted Cruz. So he sort of won, you had a sort of a voterless thing where Ted Cruz won all the delegates without votes, no votes taking place. And that has really riled a bunch of people up. And then, of course, on the Republican side, they're saying, well, these are the rules, we have to follow the rules. Well, it's, you can holler rules all day long, and you see, and they've deliberately come up with all these weird arcane rules in order to subvert the democratic process. You know, because you don't want stupid voters kind of messing the thing up. They're the experts. They're the elites. They're running the party. They know better than we do. They don't want us, just normal people voting and messing up the thing. So they come up with all these arcane rules. Well, you can, rules. You've subverted the democratic process. That's all there is to it. It's been subverted. And that's become very apparent at this point. So, and then there's all this talk about, there's going to be a contested Republican, contested convention on the Republican side. Well, I know one thing. If Donald Trump isn't on the ballot, because that's who I'm going to vote for, if Donald Trump is not on the ballot, I don't care who the Republican nominee is, whether it's Ted Cruz or whoever, Paul Ryan, I don't care, whoever it is. If it's not Donald Trump, I'm not voting Republican. I'm done with the Republican Party. Finished. And of course they've always used, you have to just kind of hold your nose and vote for the whoever you think the lesser of the two evils is. Or if you're a Republican, you just sort of have to hold your nose and vote for whoever they've decided the nominee is. Well, I'm sorry. No, I don't. It's a false choice. Of course, people always say, you have to vote or you're going to, in order to keep the American democratic process alive, you have to vote. Okay, well, I'll vote. There's always third-party candidates that are on the election. And if one of them's Donald Trump, I'll vote for Donald Trump. However, if he's not on the ballot, then I'll figure out one of those other weird third-party candidates to vote for. And that's who I'm going to vote for. And I'm going to vote against every damn Republican on the list. Maybe. I don't know. I might not. Because they're... The more local ones are probably more legitimate. They're probably more legitimately Republican than or conservative than maybe they are, maybe they aren't. You know, the higher you go up in the party, the more corrupt it becomes. Now, the reason it's corrupt, it's, and this stuff is always corrupt. Any kind of organization, the scum sort of rises to the top. People have a tendency to elect people that are worse than they are, you know, in order to kind of feel better about themselves. You know, kind of the Bill Clinton, you know, there were probably plenty of people that felt good about, you know, not as bad about, you know, stepping out on their wives or stepping out on their husbands. Because, well, after all, Bill Clinton got a blowjob in the Oval Office from Monica Lewinsky. So they didn't feel so bad about it. And he kind of made him feel better about being scum. And so the big scum rises to the top. And that's always the tendency in any group. Any kind of organization or any group that tends, and especially if it's political, that tends to be the case. So that's how you end up with really rotten people, corrupt people running things. But the more rotten, the more corrupt the average people are, the worse the people are on the top. Because it's going to be worse scum, it's always worse scum that rises to the top. And you have to remember that our, you know, the American, our society is really, overall, it's a really advanced stage of depravity. It really is. And so that's why, that's how we've lost our, really our democracy. We've lost it. So, you know, at this point, I think people are finally realizing it. So I won't, you know, when I vote, if Donald Trump's not on the ballot, and when I vote for some third party candidate, I'm not going to feel a bit guilty about not voting for whoever the quote unquote legitimate candidates are. Because, you know, and then they use the argument, well, you have to vote for whoever, Paul Ryan or whoever the Republicans throw up as the nominee. If it's not Trump, you have to vote for that or else you're going to elect Hillary. Well, no, I don't. I'll vote for some third party and I'm not going to feel bad about it at all because if it's Ted Cruz or if it's Paul Ryan or whoever it is that the Republicans put up that's not Donald Trump, it's a false choice and it's not legitimate. And I would venture to say that since Ronald Reagan, every candidate that's been put up on the Republican side, as well as probably the Democrat side as well, but certainly the Republican side, has been a false choice. Otherwise, we would have never ended up with a Bob Dole. Otherwise, we would have never ended up with a John McCain. Otherwise, we would have never ended up with a Mitt Romney or a George Bush. George Bush the first or George Bush the second. We would have ended up with none of those. Maybe George Bush the first, because he, after all, he was Ronald Reagan's vice president. And of course, Ronald Reagan wasn't perfect. He did end up kind of picking a traitor. The Bushes have a traitorous streak. He ended up picking a traitor as his vice president. And of course, as soon as Reagan was out of office and George Bush Sr. became president, he immediately set about reversing everything Ronald Reagan did for the prior 8 years. So I'm done with it. I'm finished with it. I'm not going to participate in it anymore. That's it. The Republican Party, as it's currently constituted, that's it. I'm finished. For some time, I've said they'll never get another dime out of me, and I've held true to that. But don't feel guilty about not, if you feel compelled to vote for whoever the Republican candidate is, and maybe it's not the candidate of your choice, don't feel compelled about having to vote for them, or don't feel compelled or guilty about not voting for them. Don't feel compelled to vote for them, because it's a false choice. It's illegitimate. And, you know, and of course, this, they're using Ted Cruz as a kind of a battering ram to try to tear down Donald Trump. And it, so far, it hasn't worked all that well. But, you know, they're using an idiot. The guy is a jackass. Now, I'm not saying he's not intelligent. He's intelligent. But he is really revealing himself to be just a horrible jackass. And he's not, you know, they want to talk, well, say Trump's not electable. Well, Ted Cruz is not electable. I don't believe Ted Cruz could beat Hillary. You know, Ted Cruz is, you know, he would be so incredibly easy to caricature. And he has this, you know, they like to say that he has a prickly personality. Well, he's a jerk. I'm finished, you know, I won't, at one time I thought I would vote for him if he was the nominee. That's gone. So, you know, would not ever vote for Ted Cruz, ever. You know, and the only way I'm going to vote for a Republican is if it's Donald Trump. And otherwise, I'll find some other candidate to vote for, because there's always other candidates on the ballot. You know, and if it's Donald Trump as a third party, then I'll vote for Donald Trump. If Donald Trump's on the ballot, that's who I'm voting for president. Otherwise, it's going to be one of those obscure third party candidates. And I won't feel a bit guilty, you know, and people say, oh, well, you helped elect Hillary. As opposed to what? Paul Ryan? As opposed to what? Ted Cruz? Same difference. You know, and then there I have people tell me, well, Ted Cruz is the only true conservative. Well, true conservative. Well, if he's has such wonderful conservative and religious values, how can he be such a jerk? How can he lie the way he does? How can he twist things the way he does? You know, so won't vote for him. He's revealed him. It's interesting what's happened with this particular election cycle. You're finding all kinds of people are all of a sudden being revealed as what they what's really in there, what really drives them. You know, a few years ago, I went to the thing, you know, the Glenn Beck thing in Dallas. 2 or 3 years, I guess it's been about 3 years ago, maybe 2 years, 3 years. And at one time I kind of liked Glenn Beck. But now, you know, he's just the past year, especially, he's kind of revealed what, you know, he's kind of gone off the rails. You know, and he's just, for whatever reason, boy, he's just anti-Trump, and he's just Ted Cruz this, Ted Cruz that. Ted Cruz is like Moses, you know, and then it's absurd. It's really crazy what he is, you know, and he's throwing away, you know, because it's not only me that has kind of, you know, seen Glenn Beck for what he really is, but a lot of other people that kind of liked him. It's easy now to look online and find all kinds of people that don't like him anymore. So he's basically throwing his whatever thing he had away, or he's just revealing himself for what he really was all along. And you know, where you find once people are put under pressure, this kind of pressure, and this seems to be, this particular election cycle seems to be it. It's got exactly the right kind of pressure to reveal people for what they really are. And, you know, it's almost, you can think of it almost like a magnetic polarity. You know, if you make the pressure, the magnetic pressure strong enough, then the polarity is going to be revealed. So, but you know, there's a ton of people that are really kind of coming. You know, it's really become evident. You know what they're really showing themselves. You know, it's being revealed what they really stand for. So, anyhow, I have an email from, it's another email from OC. It says, Tom, thanks for the answer. Do you have all-time best and worst trip? No. Not really. I don't really dwell on trips being bad or good. Now, sometimes I've done, you know, bad things have happened, but you know, and maybe it was my fault, and maybe sometimes it's not, but I don't cling on to them. Most of the time I just especially in recent years, I've learned to just kind of not become upset by that stuff. Whatever it is happens, you know, if something goes wrong or loads fall through, or, you know, one time I had, you know, and that's been within the past 10 years, I had three loads that turned out to be just, they've just fizzled. They weren't there. You know, they'd send me on the load and then come to find out the load had been canceled or whatever, and that happened three times in a row. But that was already at the point where, you know, I don't get upset by that stuff. What causes people to remember all these things is when they're upset. Because if you're upset, you have a tendency, your mind has a tendency, your brain has a tendency to just kind of photograph all of the elements that are present during the upset. And that's why if somebody is, you know, really violated or they really get upset, they can remember all the details. That's why people remember where they were whenever, you know, like a president dies or something. You know, you hear people talk about, well, I remember where I was when the news came that Kennedy was assassinated, or et cetera, et cetera. You know, you fill in the blank. And the reason you do, or the reason that they do, is because they have a tendency to become upset by whatever the upsetting news is. So I've learned not to become upset. So I just go through my life and, you know, kind of do my job. And sometimes things don't go perfectly, and other times they do. And but even if they do, I don't. You know, the flip side of not becoming upset is to not get excited when things, you know, do go right. There's no what, you know, what, you know, because then if I were to get up excited by things that are going right, then my, you know, the wrong side of my ego would become attached to that. It would become addicted to that. And then whenever the thing went wrong, the next thing that went wrong, it would be like someone had jerked the rug out from under me. The same way with, you know, if someone gives you a compliment, and then you take the compliment, and it makes your day, and then all of a sudden, the wrong side of your ego becomes addicted to that, and then you, that person, or a smells alike, look-alike person, has power over you that you've given them, because you... your ego craves being built up. It craves the compliments. So, but at the same time, it'll also work in reverse if you get upset with something, people, places, and things. So I really don't. It's just, you know, it is what it is. I, you know, which I'm not really fond of that. I hear people say that all the time, and I'm not that fond of it, but as a phrase, but it does apply. I just do the job, and sometimes things go good, or, you know, they go like they're supposed to. Other times they don't, and but, you know, it's all the same. At the end of the day, you know, I'm able to pay my bills, and I stay busy, and most of the time I enjoy the job, and I really don't have an all-time best or worst trip. So going on in the letter, you said you were not much of a tourist, and I understand being paid by the mile works against that, but have you ever driven a route kind of out of the way just to take us inside, or a famous place to eat, or a famous hotel, etc.? No. Now, what I have done is there's been a few times where I've had extra time, and then you know, then I've been able to do things. Like, I've been able to, you know, well, most recently I went to, I had an extra time, and so I spent some extra, this was last summer, spent some extra, I had an extra day or two, or day and a half, or the better part of 2 days, and so I stopped in Las Vegas, and I was able to walk, you know, kind of up and down the strip, and kind of hang out. I don't gamble, but, you know, I like the, you know, I took a bunch of pictures of all of the casinos and what have you, and the one thing I do like about Las Vegas is the fact that they tend to have pretty good food. But, I, you know, the gambling part of it is completely lost on me. But then, when was it? I guess probably upwards a year or two ago, I had some extra time, and I was in Southern California. And so that one truck stop there in Ontario, the TA truck stop has, or at least they did, I think it's still there, car rental place where you could rent a car. And so I had some extra time, so I rented a car and drove over to the Santa Barbara area, to I think it's Simi Valley, it's over by Santa Barbara, and went to the Reagan Museum, Ronald Reagan Presidential Museum, and spend a few hours in there, kind of, you know, because I'd always wanted to see the place, and so enjoyed that, and then made a kind of a little day trip out of it. And so there's been times where I do things like that, but otherwise I don't particularly drive out of the way to go anywhere, you know, but so, you know, but it's really difficult, and especially nowadays, there's as I said, there's usually not a whole lot of extra time on trips. So he goes on, how did you get into podcasting, and is your first podcast available online? I have pushed through iTunes, so where would I listen to your first? Do you have a greatest hits of podcast? Thanks, and that's from OC. So, how did I get into podcasting? I first started hearing about podcasting way back. I had an XM radio, and this was way back in 2000, you know, kind of mid 2004. And there, David Lawrence, there was this guy. He had a radio show, but then he quit that, and he ended up becoming an actor. You know, so David Lawrence ended up becoming an actor, and I think he was in the TV show Heroes. And I don't know which character he played, but he used to be a radio host. And he talked about, he was on the radio, but they also carried it on XM radio, and he talked about technology, and he was, you know, that type of thing. So anyway, he I heard him mention podcasting a few times, and I even wrote the word down. And so I was sitting one day, and I happened to think, and I had written the word down, and so I decided, hey, I'll look this up. And then I looked it up, and I figured out what it was. I found Adam Curry, Adam Curry podcast, and then I realized what it was because I was listening to Adam Curry, and he was actually recording it as he was on a commercial airplane flight. And I realized what that was, and I thought, well, you know, I really felt compelled that I had to do that, and so I ended up the first opportunity, I ended up buying a digital recorder and started podcasting, and so that was in October of 2004. Now, those podcasts, I have a copy of every podcast I've ever done. However, those podcasts are probably, I'm sure they're long gone from the internet, just because the service that I initially put them on, I probably put it on my own website to begin with. Because there was a time where I was kind of putting them in different places, because a podcast really doesn't matter, you know, as long as you put them on an open server somewhere, all you have to do is link to the file, and it doesn't really matter where the file is at, as long as the thing that's pointing to it is accurate. The file, you know, the thing that's pointing to the actual file and to the server. So those are long gone. I went through a succession of different services, but probably my favorite podcast was the one where I'll have to post that again because I've posted it periodically, but where I was, it was back when I was in Denver, Colorado, and this was, I think it was like podcast, I can actually look that up maybe, it was like number 77, I think is the, you know, that was like the 77th podcast that I'd, you know, so I was in Denver, Colorado, and I was at this Flying J truck stop, and I had extra time, so I decided, you know, my truck was getting worked on, is why I was there, because I was staying in a motel next to the Flying J, across the street from this place where my truck was being worked on, and so I was kind of, you know, Star Wars movie, you know, and I don't remember which one it was, but it was like the first one of the new ones. You know, it was like episode one. This was back in 2004. Came out, and so I decided that I would go to the theater. And so I rode the bus. They had a bus system in Denver. So I rode the bus to the theater and, you know, watched the movie. By the way, that movie theater where I watched that movie, that turned out to be the one where that Colorado shooter from a couple, 3 years ago shot up the theater. You know, because I knew that when I heard about that, I knew that that theater sounded familiar, and that was the theater. So, but anyway, watched the movie. It was about 10:30 at night when the movie got out, and I went to the bus stop, and they were all, you know, passing the thing. They were coming from the other way, and no bus was stopping, and I finally realized, uh-oh, I've got a problem. And so I started walking. Now, I did not realize that even in 2004 that the Denver cab system accepted credit cards. They, you know, even in 2004 they did. I didn't know that at the time. And I didn't have I just had a few dollars in my pocket because I'd spent it I just didn't have enough money in my pocket. I'd spent so much on the theater and eating and what have you, and I didn't have very much in my pocket, and I was relying on my debit card. And so I got about halfway back. I started recording, actually, as I was walking. And I got about halfway back, I guess, from where that theater was back to that Flying J truck stop east of Denver. And I stopped in it was a convenience store. And I ended up calling the cab company. And I found out that they did take credit cards. And so I called a cab and got a ride back to the hotel next to the Flying J. So I was, it ended up making kind of an interesting podcast. And but as I say, I periodically will play that. Because I've got the file. I do have that file, and I just put it back up there again. So I will do that, because that is probably my favorite podcast that I've ever done. Because that one, I don't know, that one sort of put me on the map, I think, as well. Because that was kind of early on, and it seemed like after that one that one ended up kind of helping me gain some traction for whatever reason. So anyway, thank you, OC. So anyhow, if you want more podcasts from me, as I've been saying lately, I need some feedback. OC has risen to the challenge. I need some voice feedback. I need something to kind of help spur me on here. I have every intention of continuing to podcast, but at the same time, I really don't feel quite as motivated as I once did. So anyway, just kind of looking through my email here to see what came through. Nope. Doesn't look like there's a whole lot here. So anyway, I think I'm going to go ahead and cut this off. It's 10:22 Central Time, but of course I'm in the Pacific time zone, so it's only 8:22. And inevitably, after I've been in this, in this time zone for a while, after a few days, I end up kind of on the Pacific time zone. And, I end up, kind of staying up later and getting out of bed later, and especially because of the appointment times. So I'll leave here probably... I really need to be out of here by, I'd say, at least 11 a.m. And then that way, that'll... Because it's going to... The GPS says it's 310 miles from here to my destination. So, could I do that in 6 hours? Probably, but then, I end up with the variables of the traffic. And I don't know what the traffic is going to be... because I have to go through Portland, Oregon. So, and I don't know. I don't think Portland has terrible traffic, but you never know. So I need to allow at least 6 hours. So I'll probably try to leave here by 11 Pacific time. And then, like I say, the load's supposed to deliver at 6. And according to the directions I have in my Qualcomm, it says... Do not arrive before your appointment time or they won't let you in. So I'll try to arrive there right around 6 p.m. And so I'll probably go part of the way and then, find a truck stop that's relatively close if I can. And then time it so that I can get there right at 6. Of course, in there, you know, that there's going to be some traffic because that's close to Seattle, but I'll be going north, and you know, I would assume that the traffic, the rush hour traffic, would likely be headed south, you know, so they'd be coming from the other way. So, but anyway, I'll try to get out of here by about 11 p.m. So, anyhow, hope everyone is having a great week, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.